We are now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It is quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
I'm a skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio. Come to chase show women and drink your beer.
Now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah. Here we are for another riveting installment of Crazy Frank Live. Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at kbacradio.com. And really, anytime you want it at kbacradio.com. Click on the Crazy Frank Live link, and then bada boom, bada bing, you got, 60-some-odd episodes of the program that we've got in the can. It's really, people will ask me, so what's your podcast about? Well, it's about nothing. It's genuinely about whatever springs into mind, topical, whether it be a global story, a local story, something that happened in my life. For instance, today, I do the regular show, and then I hang out with the Gooch for a bit. We do, my daughter Ava, we call her the Gooch. And some people are confused by that. I guess I should explain why we call her the Gooch. And we call her the Gooch, but I call her the Gooch. I've given her that nickname because years ago, we worked with a guy, his last name was Goocher, and he was screwing things up. And every time he would screw something up, you'd say, you got gooched. And as Ava became a toddler and she started exploring the world around her and fiddling with things, she had a propensity to screw things up. And then so I just, don't gooch me, man. And then it just kind of stuck. Call you the Gooch. When I got the Jeep, the question became, should I get vanity plates for it? And a lot of people said, oh, you should get K-back themed license plates for the Jeep. And I'm like, I don't know. Should I get, K-back? I don't really rub a lot of K-back on my day-to-day. I guess I just don't. I have K-back shirts that I wear from time to time, but I oftentimes feel a little like when I see a band wearing their own shirts, I always think, that's kind of douchey that you're wearing. Like, if you were to meet Brad Pitt, see Brad Pitt walking around town, do you think he's wearing a shirt that's got his face on it? Like, no, I know you're Brad. I see you, Brad Pitt. Okay, I know you. So if I see James Hetfield walking down the street, I kind of don't want to see James Hetfield with a Metallica shirt on because I know you're fucking James Hetfield. You don't want to see Johnny Cash walking around with a Johnny Cash shirt on. It just seems, I don't know, like siphoning your own gas. It feels a little like that. But on the same token, you have your, now if you're a business, I don't have a problem with that. I think it, for instance, like my mechanic, Wally and Susan and those guys have got, their apparel. I don't see a problem with, if you're, it's your business name on your jacket there, why not? You're at work, you're wearing your business t-shirt. Why? That makes sense to me. But for some reason, bands always irritated me. And I don't know that, yeah. Like, I guess in my head, I think if you're wearing the apparel, you're a fan. And why wouldn't you be a fan of yourself? So it's kind of redundant. Like, I wonder if people who play for baseball teams, I don't know who, let's say the Minnesota Twins. Do the guys that play for the Minnesota Twins, do they walk around town wearing Minnesota Twins t-shirts? Like, yay, Twins. Or do they just, wear normal fucking clothes? I guess I don't know. I think it goes all the way back to childhood trauma. They say you can trace everything that goes on in your brain back to something that happened. And I won't say trauma. Trauma is probably a strong word. But I remember being about five or six years old. Well, let's do the math. When did the first Star Wars movie come out? Was that 76, 78? Let's Google it. Star Wars. I guess technically that was A New Hope, but when did it come out? Star Wars magazine, Star Wars film, 1977. So Star Wars came out in 1977. So I would have been 4. Guess what day did it come out? May. So I probably would have been 3-4 years old when it came out. And I don't know that it was right after the movie came out or within a year or so. And maybe Empire. Maybe it was about the time Empire came out. I guess I really don't. I'm foggy, but I was young. I was younger than 8. I wanted to be R2-D2. I thought it would be the coolest thing to be R2-D2. And I understood, even at that age, that it was not a practical trick-or-treat costume. Because R2-D2, let's face it, he doesn't go over gravel well. If you're not familiar with R2-D2, well, then shame on you. I don't even know if we can be friends. But, man, I thought robots were the coolest fucking thing ever, and I thought R2-D2. I, for whatever reason, C-3PO, to this day, I really don't care. Like, if C-3PO and R2-D2 and Jar Jar Binks were, which is probably the lamest Star Wars character ever. Actually, let's rewind. Let's compare apples to apples. If you had C-3PO, you had R2-D2, and then you had that random, looked like a McDonald's trash can robot. And you had I had my choice of getting my photo taken with any of the three. R2-D2 is going to win every time. My second choice would be the trash can robot. Distant third, C-3PO. So I tell my mother, you know, she asked me, I remember the conversation vividly. She said, what would you like to be for Halloween? I said, I you know what I want to be, I don't think we can do. I don't think it is really going to work out. And she said, why? What do you want to be? I said, well, I would like to be R2-D2. It's my favorite guy in Star Wars. She said, well, we could probably do that. I said, I don't think you can because, look, he doesn't have legs. He's on wheels, essentially. It's a tripod. He's a tripod on wheels. It's not real practical going up and down steps and going to, you know, knock on doors and all that. He's got no arms. My mother's like, nope. We can get you the costume. I think we can. I've seen them, she said. Well, I'm a little kid. She's an adult. I have to take the adult's word that the adult has, in fact, seen these things. So Halloween comes around, and there's the R2-D2 in a bag. She said, here's your costume. And immediately, I'm skeptical. Because I've never seen R2-D2 in the flesh, but I have seen him compared to other things. And I really don't think he would fit in a plastic, at the time, paper, grocery bag. We open it up. And it's one of those god-awful garbage bag costumes with a plastic, like, if you could even call it plastic, face mask. And my stomach, it was like someone had just kicked me in the gut. Like, Jesus. I can't, no one's going to think I'm R2-D2. R2-D2 doesn't run around with a picture of himself on him. And that's what it was. It was the garbage bag. You know, basically arms and legs in a garbage bag with a photo of, like, R2-D2. And it wasn't even R2-D2 by himself. It was R2-D2 and everybody. So I imagine everybody got the same fucking costume with just a different mask. I'm like, no one's going to believe I'm R2-D2. So I think it all goes back to that. Like, R2-D2 doesn't need to walk around with a photo of himself hanging around his neck. If you need that, then nobody's going to know you're R2-D2. So anyway, how did I get on this subject? People wearing their own merch. No idea. But my evening. Man, oh, I pulled several muscles this evening. So I go to Guitar Center and I pedal some stuff. I had some musical stuff that I'm not really needing or using or ever going to really want to use. Sitting around, I thought, I'm going to go sell it, and I have a little extra walking around money. I got to buy salt because this fucking ice is melting off the house and freezing, and it's an ice rink outside. Outside my house, anyway. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pedal some stuff over there at Guitar Center. I'll stop at Savers and see if I can find Ava a prize. This is what I like to do. Whenever I got a little extra money in my pocket and I got some free time, I'll swing into Savers, which is a large discount store, a thrift shop, basically, and see if I can find her some cool gizmos or gadgets. This is why the entire first floor of my house looks like a toy store fucking exploded. You can't walk anywhere without tripping over toys. This kid's got more toys than, like, there are more toys in my house than most daycares have. There's just one kid. But she, you know, whatever. I love her. And I'm living, I guess, vicariously, living my childhood vicariously through her, because I didn't have any kind of toys like that when I was a kid. Maybe that's what I'm doing. But that's a discussion for a whole other day. Anyway, I swing into Savers, and I'm looking around trying to find something for my daughter, Ava, and I see this really nice-looking leatherette, probably not real leather, but that pleathery leatherette. It's a Lane, is the name brand, recliner. Big, oversized recliner chair. Now, I should mention that the couch that I have in my house, I bought from Savers about 6 years ago, and it was pretty beat up when I got it from Savers. I think I paid $20. It might have been $19.99. And it's one of those kinds of couches that's got a recliner in both sides. But it was pretty beat up when I got it. But I thought to myself, oh, I'll just throw a blanket over. They would just throw a blanket over it. Who cares if the pleather is peeling and it's kind of beat up? Who cares? I'm just going to throw a blanket over it. It had a recliner on both sides. Perfect. So I've had it in the house ever since. And Ava's been jumping up and down. Sometimes Ava gets bored and she'll start peeling the, you know. So I've thought to myself, I need to get rid of this couch. And then I'll eventually get a couple of recliners to stick in there. And then it'll be straightened out. It'll be squared away. And here is this, and I should mention at this point, I've got $100 cash burning a hole in my pocket that I just got from selling some crap at, I sold an effects pedal to the Guitar Center people. So I got $100 in my pocket. And the only real plans I have for it are to get salt for the driveway, that 50-pound bags of salt, maybe get Ava, score Ava something from Savers, and grab some Five Guys on the way home. That was my whole master plan. And then the rest of the cash, whatever I had left over, I was going to stick in a bank and pay some bills. Pay on some bills. Because I got to do a somewhat responsible thing. Anyway, I see this recliner there, and I'm flipping it around trying to find a price tag. I can't find a price tag anywhere. I'm looking all over the place. Can't find a price tag. I sit in it, and I'm like, damn, this fucker's nice. Big, oversized, you know? Like, a 300-pound man could sit in this and be comfortable. It's like a king-size recliner. Like, fuck, man, this is pretty good. Man. Nice, sturdy, actual wood construction and steel frame there. And like, ah, I got to have this thing. But they're going to probably want a ton of money. This is the thing with thrift shops nowadays. It's sometimes the stuff is cheap. Sometimes it's ridiculously expensive. And there seems to be no rhyme or reason which is which. So I look around, and now that they've largely automated Savers, they've got the self-checkouts and stuff, you don't see a lot of people out there working. So I finally find somebody, and I ask the gal for the price. So she spends about 5 minutes digging all over the place trying to find a price tag on this thing. Finally, she's like, well, I don't know. What brand is it? So she digs around. She finds that it's the brand name is Lane. She said, well, that's a name brand, she says. I said, well, fuck, I don't care if it's a name brand. How much is a fucking chair? She said, I think we could price this at $49. I thought, man, that's a good deal. That's a good deal for that chair. Let me think about it, I tell her. So I go over to Menards and I get my rock salt. I look at the wood because I'm, you know, I've got a couple of guitar amplifier cabinet-y projects in the back of my head. You used to be able to buy solid pine that was, I don't know, like a half inch, three quarter inch thick and about 12 inches wide. Used to be able to get it from Menards in the solid piece. Now you can't. The only stuff you can buy that dimensions are the pine that's basically several pieces of pine glued together. I was looking for the solid stuff. Anyway, I'm walking through Menards towards the wood section, and they have, I wasn't really, I guess, aware of this, but Menards has a whole section where they sell recliners and couches and shit. And I see cheap versions of these recliners, like the Huflong Dung Menards house brand, $500, $600, $499. And I thought, I would be an idiot not to go back there and buy this recliner for $49. I mean, I'm standing here looking at a new one that looks, you know, and it feels cheaper than the one that, you know, this Lane thing. I guess I don't know if it even is a name brand. The lady told me it was a name brand. I meant to Google it, but I've been kind of pressed for time. So I'm thinking to myself, I got to go back. I got to go back and buy this. I can't let it. $49. I'm going to kick myself if I don't. So I get my rock salt. Can't find any wood. So I go back over to Savers. I pay him for the thing. And I'm in my Jeep. And if you've ever seen a Jeep TJ, there's not a lot of cargo room in one of those. Especially not when you have the back seat in there. But I have this little luggage rack carrier thing that folds down. I thought, that's what I'll do. So I ratchet strap this big fucking chair onto this deal and head on down the road. I'm pretty proud of myself at this point because I'm like, hey, this is I'm an ingenious motherfucker. Here I am flying down the road. Giant recliner strapped to the back of my Jeep. I took some photos. I posted them on Facebook. I get to Five Guys. I get my Five Guys food. I'm pretty proud of myself. Then it's about the time I'm leaving Five Guys, it occurs to me, oh, yeah, I got that podcast thing to do tonight. So I come home. I inhale my burger and fries, which I might add was fan-fucking-tastic. I didn't order online. I just went in and ordered. To give you an idea of how long it takes, and they were busy. Five Guys was busy tonight. I took a photo of me sitting, pulling into the Five Guys parking lot. That was 6:13. So at 6:13, I was pulling in and taking a vanity photo of myself in front of the Five Guys sign with this recliner strapped to the back of my Jeep. By 6:17, I had already paid. And I was waiting for my grub. And then, let's see here. I was on my way home at 6:26. So like 15 minutes tops. From the time I pulled into the parking lot to the time I was already on the road headed home. So quick. Anyway, so I get home. And then I immediately start thinking to myself, how the fuck am I going to get this giant-ass chair in my house? I sitting in the living room, I eat the hamburger, I eat my fries, I think, well, the best way to get it in, because there's all this crap in the living room, the best way to get it in the house is to come in the back door. Now, the problem with that is we had a ton of snow, and I didn't really shovel the backyard. And I've got the aforementioned ice rink for a driveway. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Oorah. I grab the fucking chair, unstrap it from the back. I flip it over on top of my, and it's about the time I get the chair flipped over and sitting on my head. So my head is basically in the ass of the chair. The chair is completely upside down. The back is up against my back. I've got my hands in between the armrests and the seat, grabbing onto the frame so I have something to keep it. and I'm carrying it like one of these like Egyptian people with the basket on their head. I'm doing that, but with a, you know, very bulky, at least 100-pound recliner. And I begin the treacherous journey from the end of the driveway down along the side of the house and into the backyard on the aforementioned ice rink. Now, how I got down the driveway without smacking this recliner into one of the cars in the driveway or falling on my ass, I have no idea. But I finally make it through the first. This is my crucible. I make it through to the nose of the RV. And then I realize I hadn't thought this out very well, because now the snow is roughly 3 feet deep. Untouched, been freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing, so who knows what's there. And there's a little tiny path that I've shoveled from this point to the door to the RV, but otherwise, it's 3 foot of snow. And I'm like, whatever, and I just start tromping through it. I'm close to waist deep now in this drifted snow with this giant ass. I'm telling the story, my arms are in the air like you could see me. You can't, but, you know, this is how I'm holding this chair. And, you know, your feet are unsteady and you're trying to hold this thing up. You're trying to keep from falling down. And then I get probably within 6 feet of the back entrance to the back porch. And what I'm standing on with my right foot suddenly sinks about 8 inches. Because it was, you know, kind of frozen and thawed, and my foot just crunched through. And then, boom, down goes Frazier. I came down hard, but thankfully I had all that snow to land on. So I tweaked my neck. I know for sure I tweaked my back. I was like, you motherfucker. And I get up, and then I just bear hug this thing, and I'm up the stairs in the back, and I get it onto the back porch. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It can sit there until I'm done with the podcast. My heart's beating out of my chest. Like, what am I doing? I'm too old to be doing this shit. What's the matter with me? For a $49 recliner. I got it on the back porch. I think that's half the battle. Now I got to figure out how to get it into the living room from the back porch. I think what I'm going to have to do is recline the chair. You know, you recline it, you put the feet out, you put the back towards as flat as you can get it, and then tilt it sideways and slide it in. That's going to be my strategy. The movie visual of you moving this chair is hilarious. Somebody says, was it your Ron... Was it your Ron Keel guitar tuner? No, they're not going to give you $100 for that. That go-go tuner thing? Are you kidding me? But I did sell that to them. I sold that to them a couple of passes ago. My Ron Keel guitar tuner. Yeah, because I was loading up stuff one day to take to Guitar Center to pedal, and I'm like, well, I don't ever use this tuner. I'll take that. I took it into the guy, and he's like, I'll give you $20 for it. I said, done. I'll take it. Somebody says, you do realize the back comes off that chair. It becomes two pieces. Well, you know, I have had chairs that do that, but I'm not completely convinced that this one does. And I was under a bit of a time crunch, because by the time I got home and got ate and had to carry this, here's what I knew was going to happen. I just inhaled a big ass bacon cheeseburger from Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Get this catch in the back of my throat now. I just inhaled this burger and the fries. I totally forgot to get the Cajun fries. I just give the fries. And then afterwards, I'm like, fuck, I forgot to order the Cajun fries. Anyway, I just inhaled this stuff. So I knew exactly what was going to happen. Now I'm in the house. I got a belly full of food. I had an hour to do the podcast thing. And the idea of going outside and dicking around, I'm like, you know what? I've still got my shoes on. I still had my hoodie on. I'm just going to go do it and get it at least on the porch, and then I can dick with it. So the very first thing I did after I got the ratchet straps off of it was there's this Velcro-y kind of a flap deal on the back. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll lift this up and see if there's any obvious way to get the back off. And there wasn't. That was obvious at the moment there in the dark with just my flashlight on my cell phone to guide me. Damn it. So I was kind of like, fuck it, I'll just carry it. So there very well may be a way to get that back off. I guess I'll examine that closer once I get done with the podcast and I'm at least on the back porch with it. Get in there. But I was kind of, I had 10 minutes to get this whole operation done and then get downstairs. So it took me about 8 minutes to get the fucker on the porch and then like 5 minutes to be able to, breathe without. Because, as you might guess, carrying giant heavy ass chairs through a ice skating rink is not my normal physical activity. Although I suppose if a person were doing that all the time, they would not be a person to fuck with. Because that requires some balance, some agility, and you don't really realize the muscles you use until you're carrying a giant recliner over your head and you hit a patch of ice and you're trying, whoa, whoa. It was like a fucking Three Stooges or Laurel and Hardy thing. But someone saying, you do realize the back comes off that chair. It becomes two pieces. Well, we'll see. Speaking of McDonald's trash can, you should watch the movie The Founder on Netflix, starring Michael Keaton. It's quite good because it's based on a true story about how the McDonald's brothers really got screwed over. I saw that years ago. I enjoyed it. Michael Keaton does a good job. Yeah, the whole Ray Kroc. Loosely, the idea was Ray Kroc was a sales guy. And he ran into these dudes that were, I think Ray Kroc was selling milkshake mixers. So he was like a traveling milkshake mixer salesperson. And he, this is just the general gist of it. Ray Kroc runs into these dudes, the McDonald's brothers. One of them's name was Frank, and I only remember that because that's my name. But he runs into these guys and he's like, damn, you guys are selling a lot of milkshakes, huh? And they're like, yeah. And he wanted to buy, as I recall, he wanted to buy the business, but they weren't really interested in selling. So then he wanted to license their whole formula and then be operated as a franchise and then sell these franchises. And these McDonald's brothers guys were like, sure, whatever. As long as you're not directly competing with us, what do we care? Because this was out in California, as I recall. And what do they care if, somebody in Dubuque or someplace is selling their hamburgers? Especially if they're getting a taste of the action. And that's how the whole McDonald's empire was built. Was you had the McDonald's brothers who came up with the concept. And then you had Ray Kroc, who essentially just copied that concept and propagated it across the country. The other genius part about it that I wasn't aware of until I watched The Founder was that these franchises, if you're a friend, you buy a McDonald's franchise, you never own the land your shit's sitting on. In fact, they said McDonald's ain't in the hamburger business. It's in the real estate business. And I'm not sure if all of the franchises or many of the franchises do it that way or if it's just a McDonald's thing. But yeah, you own a McDonald's franchise. It's your building, but it's on rented land, essentially. They lease you the land back. Man, what a racket. They sell a lot of hamburgers, though. Harriet here, you say, I guess I don't know. A lot when most people would say, I don't know. That's got to be a term you got from someone. Well, I guess I don't know where I got that. I would say the majority of a majority of what someone says is shit they picked up from somebody. For instance, lately, I've heard a lot of people use the phrase woke. I was called an ableist the other day. We should talk about that. I guess I don't know. It's a phrase. I don't know. It's a phrase I picked up. Guess I don't know where I picked that up. I don't know where I picked that up. I think when you say, I guess I don't know, I think you probably say that because, you know, now that I think about it, I don't know. Or do I know? I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. I know that. That's what I know. I know that I know nothing. Anyway. K-Back is a business. Wearing your branded apparel is a cheap way to get your brand out there. Here's what I've learned. Nobody cares. That's exactly what I've learned. Nobody cares. All these things I used to think, ooh, you know, we get t-shirts. For instance, I used to think that if a radio station had free t-shirts to give away, that was great. Because people are going to wear the t-shirts, and then now your brand is everywhere, and people see it everywhere they go, because you've given away all these t-shirts. But what I found was that people will take anything you give them for free. And I'm going to prove it this year at Bike Night, because I'm going to have the koozies made up like I have every year. That's a perfect example, the koozie thing. I had in my head, we're going to make up koozies, we're going to have our logos on it, and then we're going to hand them out, and then you're going to see K-Back logos everywhere. And surely that's going to spread the word of K-Back. It has not. I park a 30-some-odd foot giant fucking RV that's wrapped with the, and I'm not even exaggerating, the logo on this thing is like 6 feet high and about 12 feet wide. And you'll still have people walk up and say, oh, what radio station is this? Well, this is K-Back. Oh, I've never heard of you. Oh, well, we're here at every bike night. We've been at every bike night for the, with this RV, actually, parked back here for the last, you know, 3 years. Oh, I've never seen you. You've never seen this 37-foot fucking RV with a logo on the side? This is the first time you've seen this. Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing this. Huh. I'll be damned. Oh, I heard you got koozies. And they take a koozie because they want a koozie. Now, do you think anybody is at a party, you know, a week from then, at a backyard barbecue? Ah, what do you got there? Where'd you get that koozie? Yeah, some asshole was giving it away at bike night. Oh, the bike night guys? No, I don't know, some radio station. Oh, okay. Nobody's thinking, damn, that koozie's interesting. I think I'm going to go listen to that radio station. It just never translates into listeners. We do it because the actual listeners like it. It makes us feel good about ourselves. Just like the shirts. We got the shirts. People want them. They can go to kbackradio.com and they can buy the shirts. They can wear the shirts. But you're never, and the only time anybody says anything about the shirt is if they also like K-Back and they say, ooh, that's a cool shirt, man. I like your shirt. That's it. Other people who like it. Randos? I highly doubt anybody is stopping someone on the street and saying, "Excuse me, sir, I see you're wearing a KBAC radio shirt. I wonder if you might be able to share with me a little bit about what KBAC is. How can I listen?" But people love free shit. They will take anything you give them. Back in my terrestrial radio days, we would always bring keychains or odds and ends, just bullshit, that had the KBAC, or, you know, the station logo on it. And people always, "Ooh, what do you got? What are you giving away? I'll take one." I took a box of fucking tampons one time and put a station sticker on it just to see if someone would take it. And they did. Didn't even ask questions. They walked up, "Hey, man, what are you giving away?" "Well, we've got these Q92 tampons." "No shit. I'll take those." A dude took radio station branded tampon. Well, it wasn't. It just had a station sticker on the box. And they weren't even name brand. They were, you know, "Enjoy the toxic shock syndrome." They'll take anything if it's free. Anything. So it's more of a pride. It's more of a, you know, a family pride thing than it is, you know. I mean, I'll drive that RV, you know, through the streets and people will honk and wave and hey. And they have no idea what the fuck it even is. They just know it's big and ridiculous. And anything big and ridiculous, people are going to honk and wave. Hey. And then 10 minutes later, the one guy says to the other one, "What the fuck was that?" I don't know. Probably the crow. I think that was a crow. You know, some kind of radio thing. Must have been the crow. Rock on. I guarantee you that's what happens. Because people don't pay a fucking attention to anything. Don't believe me? Open a restaurant and put a fucking sign up. Open a bar and put up a sign. And then discover how many times people will ask you what's on the sign that's right in front of their face. I don't know. So here's how I'm going to prove this. We're going to make up the koozies this year just because I like to entertain myself. We'll have the KBAC logo on one side, and then on the other side, we're going to have some kind of fucked up saying. I mean fucked up. And we're just going to give them, "Hey, you got koozies over here?" "Absolutely, have one." "Thanks, man." And see if they even notice that they have a koozie that says, "I'm not gay, but a free koozie is a free koozie." Fuck, what'd that guy do for that koozie? There's another one that came to mind. So the writing will be sideways, right? So these words will be written sideways. So you'll have to tilt your head to read what it says. Because if you look at it normally, it'll look like maybe Chinese. But if you tilt your head sideways and read it, it'll say something like, "If you can read this, then you owe Frank a blowjob." Just so people are walking around with these koozies and all these people tilting their head trying to read that. I got that idea from a shirt I got from Spencer's years ago that said, it was sideways writing and said, "If you could read this, then you owe me a blowjob." And I would wear it when I would go do DJ stuff. And it was always some dude you'd catch with his head turned sideways, and he's one of those dudes that has to, you know, like, mouths the words as he's reading it. "As if you can read this." Like, he can't just read without his mouth moving. Those types of dudes. And right, you look at you. He's not noticing that you can see what he's doing. He's too busy focused on the text. "If you can read this shirt, you owe me a blowjob." Oh, and then they look up to see if you're noticed, and you're like, "Aha!" So we're going to make koozies with crazy shit like that on the other side. And you give them away. See if anybody notices. At the very least, it'll give them a reason to hang on to them. But I do look around after bike night, when bike night shuts down, for the evening. I do, you know, a little skim across the parking lot just to see how many of them koozies get left, you know, laying around like litter. And I don't see many of them. In fact, I've never seen one just floating around abandoned. So people are taking them. But I know a lot of people also hoard koozies. They've got a glove compartment filled with koozies. They'll show up and get a beer and think, damn, I should have brought a koozie. Now I realize I have 47 of them in my glove compartment in my car, and my car is only 100 yards away. But instead, I'm going to go over here and get another one because they're free. And I'll take anything if it's free. Things I've learned as I traverse this big blue marble we call Earth in my 49 years. I ate at Taco John's yesterday. Tried the new nacho chip tacos. They forgot the chips in my soft shell beef taco. Still was amazing. I talked with the guy at the window for 10 minutes about K-Bag. You talked with a guy at the window for 10 minutes? Like, were you holding up the line? How high were you? Hey, man, how are you? Yeah, I'm here for some tacos, man. Yeah, I heard about this on K-Bac. Do you get a lot of people talking about K-Bac when you go? Yeah, man. Yep, sir, we're going to have to ask you to pull forward. Whoa, sorry, man. I fucking stoned. I forgot I was in a drive-thru. Harriet here. I've never asked for a koozie, and I've never asked for a sticker. In spite of both being free to me. Why? I guess I don't know. I'm talking about people who are there. People who are at bike night. People who walk up and you have a platter of things just laid out for free. I'm not talking about... There's no really additional action required. Like, if you were to ask for a koozie or a sticker or whatnot, that you have to actually make an effort. I'm talking about the shit that you lay out on a table for free. The same concept is with free samples. Free samples at the grocery store. It could be plutonium on a fucking stick. And people will grab one and pop it in their mouth and start chewing before they have any idea what they're even eating. I walked up one day and grabbed some trail mix from a thing and popped it in my mouth and I'm eating it. And as I'm chewing it, the gal says, oh, and she goes into her spiel about what's in it. And I'm like, oh, there's no nuts in this, right? Because I'm super allergic. And the chick's like, oh, Jesus, not again. Not again. Like, that's not the first time somebody who had a peanut allergy walked up and popped a mouthful of peanuts at her stand. And you'd think people with peanut allergies would be a little more, I don't know, discerning, a little more discerning when it came to what they randomly popped in their... Someone says, that's the fucker that held the line up. Don't forget about adding one testicle athletic wear, half nuts, and still in the game on your koozie. Well, we may do that. I was kind of focused on just putting fucked up sayings on one side and then putting the K-Bac logo on the other side and then maybe alternating the K-Bac logos. Like the traditional K-Bac logo and then maybe make some with the tower logo. I kind of like the tower logo. The original skull logo is a little sweaty. The Chucky logo is a little sweaty. The Chucky logo came about because as we're coming up with an idea for a logo, you know, we were coming from K-Bad, which had a skull as a logo, and K-Bac. We wanted people to kind of put the association together. K-Bad, K-Bac. Like McDonald's, McDowell's. See, the Big Mick has two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, but our bun doesn't have sesame seeds. Love that movie. Yeah, I agree to the last point about the McDonald's thing. The company I work for does control automation programming for corporate AV. We were recently bought out by a distribution company. They ain't in the business of selling displays. They're in it for the business of credit terms. Yeah, I would imagine. There's a lot of equipment companies out there that's really what they're about, selling that credit. Oh, your cost of ownership is dramatically lower when you go this way. Equipment leasing or, you know, in-house financing. These small operators are like, how are we ever going to afford all this expensive equipment? Oh, no problem. We'll give it to you in one balloon kind of a thing. Covers it all. The maintenance, the installation, service, it all gets covered under one, you know, monthly. Easy on the pocketbooks. So you always know from month to month what your costs are going to be. Doesn't that make sense? That sort of a thing. I guess I don't know. Done. I'm ordering 500 dildos with the K-Back logo on it for you to give away at Fight Night. That would be expensive. I've looked into K-Back branded dildos. I've even looked into creating my own line. Some time ago, I was paid $2,500 to get a cast of my Johnson to serve as the model, if you will, for a rubber dong company. I'm not making that up. They gave me $2,500, and they made a cast of my dong. And I'm delighted to say they put different. I was not the dude on the box. They found some model to put on the box. But it was my dong. And the black one, too. And nobody ever questioned, how come the black dong and the white dong are the same? But I don't know that people buy rubber dongs that way. I guess I've never really bought a rubber dong. I also discovered that people in sex toy shops don't like to chit-chat. I was in there looking for that. I've only been in a sex shop maybe twice in my life. The most recent time was right after we started K-Back. And we were having our first K-Backers ball, and Crash randomly says, oh, we need to get some of these inflatable dongs for the party. Like, inflatable dongs? What are you talking about? Well, it's this game. There's this, like a belt you put on with a piece of Velcro on it. And then an inflatable cock and balls with a piece of Velcro on it. And it sticks to the Velcro on the belt. And then what you do is you basically have a cockfight with your opponent. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but with inflatable dongs. And then whoever knocks the dong off is the winner. And I was like, why not? I'll see if we can find one locally. So I went into the local dildo shop, and there they had it. And I'm standing there, and I don't know, like I would normally do. I strike up a conversation with the guy that's standing in line behind me, and they're not chatty. Also, a lot of them like to park in the back. Here, I park right in the front, right by the front door. Fuck it. I thought there would be nobody in there. I walk in the place, it's packed. And I said to the guy, I said, damn, I thought this place might not have even been open. There's no cars in the parking lot in the front. It's like most people like to park in the back. It had never even dawned on me that people might be embarrassed to shop in a dildo shop. Lots of parking in the rear. Because, I don't know, some busybody's going to drive by and say, oh, isn't that Teddy's car? That fucking degenerate. Anyway, I don't know that I got time for the ableist story. It's probably a long-winded thing. But there was the short of it is somebody had posted a video of a gal who got into a screaming match with the manager of a Little Caesars in Watertown, South Dakota, over her service dog. There's two chicks. Each of them had a dog. And the video starts with the guy's like, get the fuck out of here. And they're like, you can't tell us to leave. We're disabled, and these are our service dogs. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. But you don't know what started it. You know, all you know is what they did. And I don't know, there was some kind of a thing and somebody was getting a pizza thrown at him. So anyway, this chick sits down on the floor and she calls the cops because she's like, you can't make me leave. I'm disabled and this is a seeing eye dog or whatever the fuck. It wasn't a seeing eye dog. It was she had seizures or something and the dog was supposed to alert when she was going to have an episode. And it's a Little Caesar. So it's not like this isn't the kind of place you walk in and sit down and dine. You walk up, you get your food from the counter and you leave. And it's not very big. There's not a lot of space in this joint. Because it's a walk up and carry out joint. But she gets in this, you know, I don't have to go anywhere. Look, I have this card that says you can't tell me to leave. He's like, lady, I'm telling you to leave. Get the fuck out of my store. I don't have to go anywhere. He says, if you don't leave, I'm going to call the cops. And the chick's like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to call the cops. And I'll show you, asshole. And, you know, she calls the cops. And the cops finally show up. And the cop's like, you got to fucking go. And she's like, I don't have to go anywhere. You can't tell me to get out of here because of my dog. And the cop's like, it ain't because of your dog. The guy's telling you to leave. You got to go. So they post this video. And then you have all these people that are going on about how terrible this guy, this manager at this pizza joint is because he told this chick to leave. And all I said was, everything about this video, it looks like this woman came in there looking for trouble. It looks like she came in there instigating. And you don't know what happened prior to this video. She'd been in the place once already, got bounced out, got her cameras ready to go, and went right back in. Because she was going to educate him. I'm like, And then suddenly I was, and this was a new one for me, an ableist is what they were calling me. Well, this one gal in particular was calling me an ableist. And so then another woman was having the same argument with me. And then when this other chick brought up this ableist thing, this other chick was like, are you talking to me? Because I'm in a fucking wheelchair. So the chick that she's calling an ableist is a lady in a wheelchair. And she's like, well, you can be an ableist and be disabled at the same time. And I immediately thought of like Clayton Bigsby, black white supremacist. Clayton Bigsby. Like, man. Oh. I thought about it, because when someone calls me a name, I stop and I think, well, maybe I am. I have to think about that. Am I an ableist? But no, I think folks should be given every opportunity and every accommodation. I can't believe anybody would tell somebody to leave if you walked into a place with a service dog. You know, as long as a service dog, I never see anybody give anybody shit about that, even when it seems suspect. You know, like this chick comes in with a tiny ass little teacup poodle. It's my emotional support poodle, whatever. I don't think anybody who really cares. There was some history there. But yeah, no, whatever. You know, I don't. Yeah. Why shouldn't people who are disabled get a close parking spot? If there's something wrong with them, that they got the, you know, the disabled thing, let them park in the front. I don't care. Fuck, I park as far away from the front. I don't want the front. It's like when they went on about the sitting in the bus, you know, the black folks wanted to sit wherever they wanted to sit in the bus. They made all the black folks sit in the back of the bus. Man, that's where I've always wanted to sit, was in the back of the bus. And I don't think they knew how good they had it. The back of the bus is great. I don't want to be up in the front because that's where all the traffic is. That's why I never park in the front. I always park way out in the back 40. First of all, because I could use the exercise. Second of all, because, well, if you park in the front, now you constantly have a carnival of crazy people trying to find a good parking spot. I know people who'll spend 20 minutes in a fucking parking lot trying to find a good spot. In the time it took them to find a quote-unquote good spot, I've parked, walked across the parking lot into the store, got the shit that I wanted, and I'm on my way out, and they're still circling the parking lot looking for a good spot. It seems insane to me. I don't care if it's raining, hail, fuck it. I park as far out as I can possibly get, and I just walk in. I'm not going to melt. And then when you want to leave, you can just hop in your car and go. You don't have to worry about this nonstop traffic in front of you. That's literally nothing but other assholes trying to find a good parking spot. And the insanity to me of that is you spend all this time to park close to a place, and then once you get in there, you have to walk. And it's a big store. But who cares? You've got a cart to put all your shit in. It's not like you're carrying all this stuff. There's a cart. So who cares if you got to walk a little bit? Good Lord. But that's the world we live in, man. Why is it that way? I guess I don't know. Don't forget about the sex shop people whom they know by name. I don't know. Oh, like the regulars? I don't know. Anyway, don't forget tomorrow is Friday, and we'll do a regular show 9 a.m. till noon, and then we will have the Devil's Jukebox. I think this was Harriet sent me. Harriet was really must enjoy this Devil's Jukebox thing. See if I can find this now. Might have been earlier today. I saw this when I first got in the studio here. But Harriet had, here we are. Harriet sent a, it's a jukebox. It says K-back on it. It's one of those Wurlitzer jukebox styles. It's got this cartoony devil saying, hey, request whatever the hell you want, but you better like it, and it better not be too damn long. Damn it. Said another, maybe you can clean them up, or not. And it's another devil. This devil looks like he's got his shoes on the wrong feet, but he's perched on top of a jukebox, the same jukebox that says K-back, and he appears to be laughing. But they're very, Cupid-y looking devils. I don't know. I was trying not to overcomplicate it. I just, you know, I needed a logo. you got to ask yourself, how much time do you really want to spend on the logo for the Devil's Jukebox? What does the term limey mean in slang? Why do they call Brits limey? The derogatory slang, limey, is short for lime juicer. The original lime juicers were British sailors of the 1800s who got lemon or lime juice with their food. The purpose of the juice was to prevent scurvy, a condition characterized by rotten gums, weak knees, and fatigue. Well, that would make me a limey, that's right here, my water. It's got lemon and lime in it. I may have a lot of medical maladies coming my way, but scurvy is not one of them. And with that, for real, we're done with the show now. I'm going to go home now. I'm home, but I'm going to. Actually, I'm going to wrestle that fucking chair into the house. That's what I'm going to do. Tune in. Tune in tomorrow and find out how that turned out. Until tomorrow at 9, kids. Peace.